Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
This is the Herd. Wherever you may be in a Monday, however you may be listening, we are live in Los Angeles. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. 1 hour from now, Colin Wright, Colin Wrong. What a Monday! I am smirking like Aaron Rodgers 2 weeks ago at the line of scrimmage. Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, how are you?
What a great weekend.
Oh, lost a little money on that Packer bet, but...
You know how that's why they call it gambling.
It's not an ATM machine. It's gambling.
You know, we thought the Chiefs-Packers was going to be the best matchup, but...
It's pretty good, too.
This is pretty good. Pretty good.
So, let's start with this. Only one of the four quarterbacks was bound to get criticized if he lost. What do I mean by that? Well, if Patrick Mahomes lost, he just got out of concussion protocol. He had an injured foot. And we know he's great. He won the Super Bowl last year. We wouldn't beat up on him. If Josh Allen lost, he's a kid. He's never been in a game like this. If Tom Brady lost, well, he is 43 playing at Lambeau. Aaron Rodgers was bound to get a little more heat for losing. He was at home. He had the young, progressive head coach. He was favored. And he had the healthier roster. So now, who do we blame? It can't be Aaron. Let's blame the defense for the Packers. Oh, wait. They had 3 second-half interceptions. Let's blame the drop passes. Yeah, except Brady had 5 of those, too. Let's blame the head coach. 26-6, Matt LaFleur is a bum suddenly, huh? Not a single Packer fan in America before the kickoff who would have argued Bruce Arians is better than Matt LaFleur. I don't have to love the call, but slow down on Matt LaFleur can't coach. Let's not slow down on facts. The defense held Tom Brady to 19 first downs. It was there for the taking. He made 3 second-half mistakes. And yet Tom Brady this morning has the same number of NFC championships as Aaron Rodgers. Fact, last 15 playoff games for Aaron Rodgers, 7 wins and 8 losses. He gets credit for all the wins annually and never any of the blame. All I know is this, Brady wins those games a lot, and Aaron loses those games a lot. It was there for the taking. At home, favored, younger, progressive coach, healthier roster. Green Bay scored a touchdown, 28-23. Tom throws a pick. Aaron gets it back. Here we go. 3 and out. -5 yards and punt. Okay. Tom Brady gets the ball, throws another pick. Aaron's got the ball again, can take a lead. 3 and out. No yards. Punt. Aaron this morning isn't even the most criticized Aaron in Green Bay. It's Aaron Jones. He had the audacity to fumble. Did you see the hit? I mean, fumbles happen when you get smoked. When a helmet hits a ball, it happens. It is amazing. Let's blame the corner for the Packers. It was a Kevin King. Let's blame him. Except how did Tom Brady get that possession? Aaron Rodgers threw a pick. Aaron Rodgers in the red zone yesterday, just Aaron Rodgers, was not good. He was 2 for 9. He forced it to Devontae Adams, who he was 1 for 7 with in the red zone. That's on Aaron, not the play calls. Oh, by the way, he had an opportunity to run that football in. He did it against the Rams. You saw the play. It was right there, and he chose to air it out. That was an opportunity. There it is. It's yours. Who are we going to blame now? This morning, Aaron Rodgers has the same NFC championship record as Donovan McNabb. Folks, it was there for the taking. Brady threw 3 second-half picks. Tampa only had 19 first downs. Vita Vea was on limited snaps. Both the safeties for Tampa were out. Multiple drop passes. Antonio Brown didn't play. If you look at the box score this morning, you're mystified how Tampa won. 19 first downs, only 25 minutes time of possession, 3 interceptions for Tom Brady, all in the second half. All I know is Tom wins these games a lot, and Aaron loses them a lot. You become your quarterback. There's a reason Green Bay is the anti-Chiefs. Green Bay fell behind and got tight. Aaron got snippy. They're the anti-Chiefs. The Chiefs are loose and fun and risk-taking and joyful. And they play almost better from behind when challenged. Green Bay does not. And to me, that says something about the personality of Mahomes and the personality of Aaron Rodgers. You've got to overcome in the playoffs. 4 times in Tom Brady's career, he has thrown 3 interceptions in a playoff game. He's 3-1 in those games. He overcomes. Green Bay's last 7 playoff losses are to teams they lost to 7-for-7 in the regular season. They can't overcome. They can't beat a team that beat them. Brady just did last weekend. You've got to overcome. Kansas City overcomes deficits. They did yesterday. They did last year. You got to overcome picks. You got to overcome fumbling at the 1-yard line. Aaron is a baller with a lead and often a bailer when trailing. And the minute they fell behind, it looked like a lot of Packer games in crisis when they fall behind. They couldn't overcome. That defines the playoffs. I didn't love the call by Matt LaFleur, but analytically, they had 3 timeouts left and a 2-minute warning. Aaron had been bad in the red zone. Get the points. You'll get the ball back if you make a stop, which you mostly had with Brady in the second half. You'd have a 1:40 left. I understood it, didn't agree with it, but can we bring up the play where Aaron had apparently an angle to either run it in? And after the game, blame on kicking the field goal and not going for it. Here's Aaron.
Well, I didn't have a decision on that one. Yeah, that wasn't my decision. But I understand the thinking above 2 minutes with all of our timeouts, but yeah, that wasn't my decision.
He just wants to make sure you know it wasn't his decision. I'm not saying he deserves all of the blame, but 7-8 in the last 15 playoff games, he damn well deserves some. Let's talk Chiefs. Are all of us now understanding how good they are? I think I've come to terms with it. Last week, their star quarterback played on 1 foot in the first half, left the game with 7.5 minutes to go in the third quarter in the second half, and they beat a really good Cleveland team. Yesterday, they disassembled, dominated, destroyed the single hottest team in the NFL. And I love the faith they have in their players. Mecole Hardman fumbles. Tyreek Hill early dropped a big pass. They go right back to him. I love that. It's their culture. Andy Reid. You just know he goes back to him on the sideline. I'm going right back to you. Green Bay falls behind. They get tense. Kansas City falls behind. They get more confident. They play with a chip. Warren Buffett calls it the inner-outer scoreboard. Guys that puff their chest up and talk a big game and smirk when they lead. That's insecurity. You see it every time Green Bay falls behind. Boy, they are smirking and smiling and condescending when they lead. Look how nervous they get the minute they trail. Kansas City has got the true outer scoreboard. They're fun all the time. And actually, I think they play better from behind. Inner outer scoreboard. See a guy who talks, smirks, snarks, he's insecure. See a guy who doesn't have to brag, he knows how good he is. That's Kansas City. I mean, I said this last week. I've never seen an NFL team that plays like an NBA team. You see this with NBA dynasties. You saw it with the Warriors, Shaq and Kobe. You saw it, Doc Rivers, that great Boston team, where they would bury the playbook knowing that, all right, we'll be a 1, 2, or 3 seed. Let's get to the playoffs. It doesn't work that way in football, except with the Chiefs. Travis Kelce could have done something in week 17 of the regular season that is almost unexplainable. Led the NFL in receiving yards as a tight end. He sat it out. Mahomes could have gotten more MVP votes week 17. He sat it out. That's what LeBron's done most of his career. He understands legacy is based on postseason success. In September and October, this is not a small thing. In September and October, Kansas City played 8 games and blew the doors off 5 teams. They then lost to the Raiders. It was a surprise. And they went on to blow out the Bills, dismantle Denver and the Jets. And I looked it up this morning. They kind of shut it down. I've never seen this in the NFL. Not once did I feel the Patriots, they never gave Tommy a week 17 off. They never shut it down. They never took the foot off the pedal. Kansas City is the NBA dynasty. Go look at their September and October numbers, and then look at the last 8 weeks. Maybe they hid the playbook, experimented, play guys they normally wouldn't. Never forget this. After the Golden State Warriors, with Kevin Durant, Stephen Clay, won the first championship, the second year, they were 500 in the regular season after the All-Star break. They went on to sweep in the finals. We are looking at the first ever NFL team with the talent and the confidence to play like an NBA dynasty. And Kansas City knows, as long as they're not paying Mahomes big money, they're not now and they're not next year. They are simply better than everybody. I sat there yesterday. I couldn't even wrap my brain around it. Buffalo had been on fire for 12 weeks, crushing good Miami teams, crushing people. And the Chiefs went on a 38-6 run after falling behind early. Wow is what I'm left with. Kansas City favored, as they should be, in the Super Bowl against Tommy and the Bucks at home. Coming up next, after the game, in what was borderline comical, Aaron Rodgers made some passive-aggressive comments. We'll try to read our way through those. That's coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Tommy John save 15%. Go to TommyJohn.com, code HERD. Check out their site for details. Joy Taylor is joining me. Tip of the cap to the NFL. Okay. Tip of the cap to all these leagues. But I live in the state of California. I can't go out for a cup of coffee and sit next to somebody outside. The NFL is now 1 game from finishing the season in a pandemic. Unbelievable job. This is domestic travel. This is, you know, this is not easy. I mean, you're hitting. I remember listening March, April to an epidemiologist at Harvard or Yale, and they're like, football doesn't make any sense. You can't play football. This will never work. Baseball, you're separated. Basketball, a bubble. Hockey, you wear masks. It will not work in football. No, it was actually better in football than any other sport because the NBA guys had to be forced to play in a bubble, which kind of stinks. Let's be honest. That's no fun. Hey, honey, I'll see you in kids in 3 months. Tip of the cap to the NFL. So after the game, Aaron Rodgers went to the podium. This feels needlessly passive-aggressive to me, but, oh, I'm just a hater, so I don't want to make big judgments, but it does feel a little needless, but here you go.
There's a lot of guys' futures that are, you know, uncertain, you know, myself included. That's what's sad about it most. There's a lot of unknowns going into this offseason now, and They just, I'm gonna have to take some time away for sure and clear my head and just kind of see what's going on with everything. But it's pretty tough right now.
What is he implying? Green Bay is going to dump him? Green Bay doesn't do flashy things. Free agency, they don't dump people. Brett Favre for years started threatening retirement, and they just moved on. That I got. That I defended. That was a pity party. Like, what are you implying? If Green Bay cut Aaron Rodgers today, we went and looked it up, it'd save him $5 million. Folks, Jordan Love didn't dress for games this year. He's not even their backup. He didn't wear a Packer uniform this year. Is Aaron threatened by that? This is not Mahomes getting drafted behind Alex Smith. That's not what this is. This is not Aaron Rodgers getting drafted behind Favre and tweaking Favre for years, according to reports. Aaron's threatened by a guy who doesn't wear the uniform yet, who doesn't dress to play. It felt needlessly passive-aggressive. I don't even know what he's implying. Green Bay's not letting go of Aaron Rodgers because he lost a playoff game to the GOAT. Even if he should have won, they're not letting him go. They'd be insane. And that is the opposite. That's something Detroit would do. The Lions would do that. The Packers don't do that. Here was Matt LaFleur forced to comment on it after.
I sure as hell hope so. I mean, guys, the MVP of this league. He is the heart and soul of our football team. So, hell yeah. He better be back here. He's our leader. And, you know, just so appreciative of him buying into what we're trying to get done around here and leading that group.
Matt LaFleur had to clean up the mess. Has Brady, in one example, 22 years, gone to a podium after a loss and done a pity party? Difference between talent and leadership. Now Green Bay has to clean up a mess. You lost. It hurts. It stinks. I get it. I do. I get it. I appreciate the fact you actually went up there and talked. There's been quarterbacks that wouldn't do that. Like, I get it. I appreciate that. It's tough. I get it. And Aaron was the only quarterback this weekend who was going to lose and get criticized because, let's be honest, at home, Lambeau, warm weather team, coming up north, progressive coach, playing great. But come on. Leadership is always viewed in crisis, not rolling the Bears. It's viewed after that loss. That's not good. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, the Bills got out to an early 9-0 lead over the Chiefs, but they struggled to score a touchdown again until late in the fourth quarter. They had opportunities in the red zone to go for it on fourth and goal from the 2 or 4th-and-3 from the 8, but kicked field goals instead. And Sean McDermott explained why he made those decisions.
I thought about it in both occasions, really. And if I had to go over again, I would have went for maybe one of them. But the one before the half, for sure, I wanted to get points. We were having trouble coming up with points, and I wanted to at least have something to show for it coming out of going into half, especially knowing that we were getting the ball after half. And so, I'll look back at that, and then I'll go back and reevaluate that, especially the one after half there. As an entire team, we'll learn from this experience.
You know, there's something called chasing points. But the problem is, when you face Kansas City, especially in Kansas City, you get forced chasing points. Like, I would agree with Sean McDermott against 30 NFL teams. But against Kansas City, you know, it's like playing the Warriors with Kevin Durant. You shoot more threes because they're hitting theirs.
Yeah.
And you're down 7, 12, 18. And you do have to change your game plan and, like, take more difficult three-point shots because sometimes you get against one of these blizzards and it changes the way you have to play.
I just don't like conservative play calling in a must-win, do-or-die situation.
You and I have always agreed on that.
And then you add to it, that, to your point, that you're playing the Chiefs. Field goals are not going to get it done. It's very cute. It's good for morale. But you need to score touchdowns.
Like, his reasoning this is where, because I'm older than you, his reasoning is what I grew up on. Before right. You get point, you take
yeah,
point.
Yeah, you also not used to never go for it on fourth down.
But it's like what's happening is the rules are all offense. Mahomes and Andy Reid in this group are ridiculous. It's at Kansas City, and you do get to a point where you are doing what you shouldn't do, which is you end up chasing points.
Fortune favors the bold, and
oh, I like that.
This is – I didn't come up with it, but it is a good statement.
I'd take credit for it.
It certainly applies to this situation. I mean, everyone hated it. Like, you, if you're – I like to watch games and live tweet sometimes,
yeah.
And you get kind of everyone's, like, fans and yeah. media's reaction to what's going on in the game.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, the whole entire – feed is just everyone confused as to why you did that. Now listen, none of us are in that situation to make that call, and he is, but you are in that situation to make that call, so you're going to get criticized for it. You have to be more aggressive in that spot. I understand you're going to trust your defense and you're struggling to score, but I just feel like you have to yeah. go for it. So Patrick Mahomes is returning to the Super Bowl for the second straight season with the opportunity to become just the eighth quarterback to win back-to-back Super Bowls. He'll have to go through Tom Brady to do it. And he joked about all the experience his upcoming opponent has in this game.
The Super Bowl is the Super Bowl. Being able to go up against one of the greatest, if not the greatest, quarterback of all time in his 150th Super Bowl, I mean, it's going to be a great experience for me. I mean, to go out there and have a chance to repeat and get to do it against the best, I mean, it's something special, and I'm excited for the opportunity.
I find him infinitely likable. I got to tell you something. I find the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, I know we all hate dynasties. I find them, Andy Reid, my wife loves Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce. I find them the Hunt family, who have been just class. They're just impossible to root against.
I said it last night. I don't get, I mean, unless obviously you're a division rival, which
yes.
is understandable. But the rest of the league, if you have no bone to pick with Kansas City, how can you not just enjoy this? Because to your point, all we ever hear about is some people complaining about dynasties. The Patriots dynasty, I totally understood. Also, a fan of the AFC East, it's yeah. a tough existence. But they're very rigid. They're very, like, they're not flashy. There wasn't a whole lot of personality allowed.
These
Belichick
guys are...
is the hoodie. You know, it felt like us and them. This does not feel like that. It's so fun. It's mostly offense.
This is
it's young.
Kansas City is what we all want our offenses to look like.
Yes.
Aggressive, fast, fun, loose, clever.
Yeah.
That's what we want. We never said, you know, I'd love to have the most rigid system and dominate football. That's never. I grew up with the Steelers. Over the top. Swan, Bradshaw, home run throws, blitz, sacks. It was like everybody, you weren't jealous or mad. You were like, that's what I wish my football team played, like aggressive, over the top throws.
But also, sometimes when you have offenses like that or teams like that, it feels very finesse and not tough, and that's not how they feel.
Right.
Like, they have a little bit of edge
I thought their defense.
And toughness to them with all of those other fun elements. Yeah, I don't get it. I think we might have been wrong. Like, this might be the matchup. Brady is the only quarterback in NFL history to win two Super Bowl titles in his first four seasons, so Mahomes can match that with a victory over the Bucks. Finally, Deshaun Watson, the saga continues. He's still not asked for a trade from the Texans, but if he does, his preferred destinations have been revealed. So according to the Miami Herald, the Jets are Watson's top choice,
wow.
mainly because they hired Robert Saleh. He thinks very highly of Saleh and wanted the Texans to interview him for their head coaching job.
Oh.
And the Dolphins are said to be Watson's second choice.
I would choose Brian Flores. I mean, listen.
I would go with the Dolphins in this space as well. They're much more set up to win right now.
Now, the Jets, by the way, does work. The Jets have the picks.
Yeah.
The Texans, I mean, it works. Like, I get it. But if you're asking me, if I'm a great player, I'm a great quarterback, aren't I guaranteed success if I have a great coach?
Great coach, and they have a defense. Like, their defense is one side of the ball is essentially taken care of. Like, that's to me why the Dolphins are, obviously, I would love him to go to the Dolphins, but it is a better situation right now. Now, 2 years from now, the Jets may be where the Dolphins are. But right now, the Dolphins are there. So that to me is a better plug-and-play situation for Watson. But if he feels more comfortable with Saleh, obviously a big reason why he wants to leave Houston is because the front office and the situation there is not comfortable for him. Like, he's had it with that situation, which is fair. He also reportedly is still expected to want out of Houston no matter who they hire as their head coach. So it seems like this relationship has completely
deteriorated. Well, somebody's going to get a great quarterback, and that's fun.
The Jets have the best odds right now, according to Fox Bet. And then the Bears, Broncos, and Colts round up the top four. The Patriots and Dolphins are still tied at plus 800.
If Sam Darnold got traded to the Texans in that mess, I'd retire. I'd say, I'm not going from Adam Gase to that. I'm out. I tried. I'm going to go play volleyball on the beach in Oceanside. Seriously.
That's a rough go for Sam.
Literally, Adam Gase to the most dysfunctional team not named Detroit in the NFL.
It's a tough go. I hope for his sake that doesn't happen. But it seems like there's going to be some massive quarterback movement again this offseason.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's crazy. The news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
We're going to have Matt Stafford, Deshaun Watson, Jimmy Garoppolo. Here comes Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields. I never get sick of football. I'm sorry. I never do. Mike Vick now joining us. 4 Pro Bowls in 13 years. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Okay, listen. We know Aaron's great, Michael. But in his last 15 playoff games, he's 7-8. He gets all the credit when they win. He gets none of the blame when they lose. I mean, I will say this. I didn't think he was very good in the red zone yesterday. I thought there were moments he could have run. He didn't. There were moments he forced it to Devontae. I mean, is there anything you saw with Aaron you didn't like?
You know, I think most importantly, when I watched them get the ball after the 2 turnovers, those 2 possessions I felt like was the key possessions to the game and probably the key reasons they didn't win the game. They had to capitalize on that. And then down in the red zone, you just mentioned it. You know, Aaron Rodgers had an opportunity to run that ball into the end zone, and he didn't. And, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, Aaron would instinctively ran that ball into the end zone, and I think this is the play right here. But you got to take advantage of that. You got to feel that. All the defenders sucked down inside on the end routes. You got to take that. That was the game. That was the play of the game right there, and Aaron Rodgers didn't capitalize on it.
You know, Brady, everybody always says what a bad athlete he is, but he was drafted in baseball. He's 6'4", 225, never gets hurt. I mean, he's got a pro athlete body, by the way, because you know what it's like.
Yeah.
He takes a lot of hits. He doesn't get hurt. But there's something, you know, it's amazing. He throws 3 picks in the second half and wins. Just like the value, give me the value beyond Tom throwing the ball that he adds to the Buccaneer franchise.
I mean, he just made the whole franchise better from the top down. I think his command, you know, when he walks into a room, when he walks into the building, I think everybody just shuts up and listen. You know, from the owner, you know, to the equipment guy, you know, they respect him. They appreciate his thought. They appreciate his thought process and, you know, what he brings to the game, not just, you know, on the field. And, you know, it's super evident. You know, I think everybody feeds off his energy, and that's invaluable. When you can do that, when you can change the state of a franchise in one season, and this team that was so close last year or was on the brink, on the cusp, you can see the greatness. You know, he just got him over the hump. And, you know, it's a testament to just how cerebral he is, you know, in all facets of the game and, you know, just in life in general.
Yeah. You know, it's Buffalo had been the hottest team in the league, and Kansas City went on a 38-6 run against them. That's like what you do in high school when you're the better team. Yeah, that's hard to do in college. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, Michael, did you ever play against a team and you were like a little in awe of their talent? Like you just felt like they got like 11 good players out there. I mean, I watched Kansas City and I'm like, I didn't think anybody in this league could disassemble the Bills like that for 3 hours.
The Philadelphia Eagles, you know, from maybe 2002 to maybe 2006, you know, from Javon Kearse to, I mean, just guys all over the place. And you know, they was just a talented football team on both sides of the ball. Brian Westbrook, and then Donovan was at his height of his career at the pinnacle. You know, I just looked across the field and just knew our chances was going to be slimmer. We was going to have to play picture-perfect football to beat them. And, you know, when you talk about playing and making a limited amount of mistakes, it just don't work that way when you're working playing against some of the best teams in the league. You have to be clicking on all cylinders, and you got to find ways to win.
Aaron Rodgers has never been a great quarterback when trailing. Mahomes is almost better when trailing. Take me to the mind of quarterbacks. Did you play different leading and trailing? Because I think Mahomes, it's almost like he's set free when he's trailing. It's almost like, oh, they need me to make a big play, and I like making big plays.
You know, sometimes when you're trailing, the playbook just open up. And, you know, some plays that wouldn't normally be called in certain situations get called. And those are a majority of the time the plays that you really like and anticipate coming in. So when you got a chance to play from behind, it's really no excuse. You just let it go. But I've always liked to have that lead. I always wanted to be comfortable playing, and I always wanted to be in total control. So it's good when you can do it either way. You can play from behind, or you can play with a lead. And once you show your coaches that you can handle both situations and circumstances, then you usually get the green light.
So now Kansas City is going to be missing their two best offensive linemen, and I think you would agree between Shaq Barrett, Vita Vea, JPP, this is a real pass rush. Are you a little concerned for Kansas City that this is the best defensive front they are going to play in a long time and they're beat up on the O-line?
Yeah, I'm a little concerned for Kansas City. I mean, when you lose guys, you know, who have been a part of your offensive line in the system all year, you know, it's continuity there. You know, those guys are gelling. Those guys know each other's feel. They got movement. You know, they understand, you know, the pace of play. And, you know, the run game is real. The pass game is real. You got to be clicking on all cylinders, and you got to be, you know, just sound, you know, in your technique. When you lose guys like that, it just throws off the rhythm. So they'll have to replace that in the next 2 weeks. But it's hard replacing offensive linemen in this league.
Yeah. Finally, Matt Stafford is available. Now, he's been injured before. He is kind of expensive. You know, listen, he doesn't have a signature win of note. If you were like, say, the Colts, would you get your guy in the draft or would you go get Stafford? If you're the Niners, do you stick with Jimmy G or do you go get Stafford? How do I view Stafford, who is now kind of beat up, kind of expensive? And Michael, I got 12 years. I don't see a lot of big wins. Where do you go with Matt?
I think Matt still got some time left. A lot of football to play, a lot of football left in him. You know, it's just, can you, you know, get the best out of Matt Stafford? And, you know, while he's been good for a long time, you know, he needs signature wins. He needs playoff appearances. He needs a playoff win. And I think he just needs structure. Sometimes change is good. And in this case, you know, for Matt, he, you know, sometimes it's uncomfortable. But the grass could be green on the other side for this guy. I think he just has to take a shot at it, find the right team, find the right structure, find the right coach, and we can get another good 3 or 4 years out of Matt Stafford. And maybe he can compete, you know, at a high level, you know, with the guys like, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady, depending on where you end up. So, you know, the future's still bright for him. He just got to land in the right place.
Well, I mean, Detroit is expecting him to be the savior. He can't be. And Matt's expecting them to get their act together in the front office, and they can't be. So to me, it feels like a perfect divorce. Sometimes it's just time to move on. Mike, great seeing you, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you.
All right, Mike Vick. So coming up, Kansas City is favored by just a field goal. It is a kind of home game in Tampa. It'll be not your typical home game. There'll be fans, though. So there's a Super Bowl where we had a team that looked a lot like Kansas City and a team that was built a lot like Tampa. And that team that looked like Tampa won and upset the team that looked like the Chiefs. I'll give you that Super Bowl. We'll talk about that coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Oh, it is great to have you in today on a Monday. The Herd brought to you by Cremo Barber Shave Cream. I use it. Fights the burn, gets away the scratch. Available at major retailers, Amazon, C-R-E-M-O, CremoCompany.com. So, top of next hour, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong. So this morning, Kansas City is favored by a field goal. My guess, the line was about 4.5. I thought the Chiefs would be favored by about 4 to 4.5. It is 3. I think Kansas City's the play at 3, 3.5, 4. That's about the right line to me, but mostly 4, 4.5. The favored team has won 35 times and lost 19. There's a reason the team is favored. The Kansas City looks incredibly lethal. In fact, if the game was neutral or in Kansas City, I would love the Chiefs. It's in Tampa. That's something. It's worth a couple of points. Can Tampa Bay win? Well, Kansas City's two best offensive linemen will be out. Couple that with the strength of the Buccaneers, which yesterday was not their receiving core. It was their defensive front. Vita Vea, two more weeks rest, will play. He really matters. But I want you to go back. We have a comp on this. And this would be the 2007 season and the 2008 Super Bowl. Kansas City is the Randy Moss, Wes Welker, Brady, 18-0 Patriots. Superstar receiver, great head coach, great quarterback in their prime, good defense, though not top two or three, but a really good defense. Tampa, ironically, with Brady, would be the 13-6 Giants. Star, big star receiver, Plaxico Mike Evans, very, very, you know, Bruce Arians, Coughlin, good coaches. Both won. Look at the similarities between Tampa Bay and the Giants. Both were five seeds. Both won three playoff road games. Both had about 7 to 8 sacks in the playoffs. Both beat Green Bay, NFC Championship at Lambeau. Both led the NFL in playoff sacks. So both immobile quarterbacks, Eli Brady. So Tampa Bay and the Giants both had turbulent seasons. They were not linear. It wasn't a rocket ship. They both had very good defensive fronts. When healthy, were totally disruptive in the playoffs. Both are five seeds. Both won at Lambeau. Both immobile quarterbacks. Both respected coaches, but we didn't think Tom Coughlin at that moment was a Hall of Fame coach. We don't think in this moment Bruce Arians is a Hall of Fame coach yet. Maybe he wins here and wins another, he is. So it's very similar to me. Kansas City's New England back with Wass, Welker, that great year, and Tampa is the Giants. And it's very much an old-school, scrappy team with Bruce Arians and Tom Coughlin, defensive front, immobile pocket quarterback, against the flashy, fun, high-scoring team with a good defense. I think there's a reason Kansas City's favored. I think Kansas City is better. I think Kansas City's ability to score quickly is like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's insane. But it's there. That's what it reminds me of. And I will say this. I pointed to this earlier. I always laugh at this, where you get labeled something and it can never change. It's a prime example. You always hear this about Brady. Oh, he's a bad athlete. Let me ask you, do you ever play high school sports? Did you ever know somebody in your high school that got drafted by a Major League Baseball team and ended up going to Michigan to play quarterback at football? Does that sound like a bad athlete? So Tom Brady, at the time, Michigan was a top five program. Top five, top six. Tom Brady gets a scholarship as a California quarterback to Michigan. Got to be pretty good. He gets drafted by a Major League Baseball team. He's 6'4 and a half, 225. And he's never hurt. Meaning that's a pro body. Your body and my body could not take the heat that his gets. Does that sound like a bad athlete? Aaron Rodgers never got drafted by a baseball team. Had to go to a junior college. Michigan wasn't even interested. Gets hurt a lot. Like, are we sure one's a great athlete, one's a bad athlete? Aaron's a better, more mobile runner, but Brady's almost 6'5". Josh Allen's rare, a 6'6 guy that can run. Most big guys don't particularly run well. Little guys usually run pretty fast. Go look at the fastest sprinters in the history of the world. Not a lot of 6'5 guys. Usain Bolt was rare. This is mostly like 5'11 guys. So it's like this idea I watched yesterday, and I said this last week, joy is my witness. I said, Tom throws the ball sometimes in the red zone with too much velocity. I think he's got the most underrated arm in the league. Yesterday, he is throwing, this is in Lambeau. This is like week 20. He is throwing freaking gas to these players. They can't catch it. Tyler Johnson, great hands. Ball's too fast. Chris Godwin, great receiver. Look at these throws. Brady's got a great arm. Not for 43. He, first of all, I've said this for years, he's got one of the best cold weather arms because of his torque. That's a rope. This is a 33-yard rope. This idea that Tom's a bad athlete. He's not Phillip Rivers. Stop. By the way, was Aikman a great athlete? Was Dan Fouts a great athlete? Was Peyton Manning a great athlete? Now, John Elway was. Patrick Mahomes is. Russell Wilson is. But I would say 90% of the guys who have been great quarterbacks in my life, they're football players. They weren't great athletes. I mean, was Troy Aikman an all-state basketball player? I don't know. Maybe he was. But when I look at Troy, and I've talked to Troy, and I said, that's a quarterback. His chest says he's a quarterback. His hands say he's a quarterback. He's a big dude. But you get drafted Major League Baseball to high school. You're 6'4 and a half. You get a scholarship to Michigan. You get hurt once in your career. You have a professional body. Tom's got a pro athlete's body. It's like LeBron. You can't play 20 years, get hurt once. God gave you a professional athlete's body. Hour two, Colin right, Colin wrong. Tom Brady going to a Super Bowl. It's the Herd.